Hello, class. I'm reading to you from San Antonio, from the Alamo. We've got a lot to cover today, so I do apologize for the pace at which I'm reading. This will be paragraphs 8.13, 9.15, 11.17, and 15.24. And as an overview, this is Augustine's testimony and a comparison between how we learn naturally, which is common grace, and the way that man teaches and the goals to which man teaches us. So, starting with 8.13. On my way to the present, I passed from infancy to boyhood. Or is it not that boyhood came to me succeeding infancy? Not that infancy departed, for where would it have gone? But suddenly it was no more, for I was no longer an infant who could not talk, but had become a boy speaking. This I remember, but how I learned to speak I found out only later. I was not taught to speak by adults presenting me with words in a certain fixed order, as they would do somewhat later with letters. But with the mind that you gave me, my God, I learned myself, through cries and all kinds of sounds and motions of my limbs, to express the feelings of my heart, so that my wishes would be fulfilled. But I was not able to express everything I wanted to express to whomever I wanted. I managed to remember whenever adults called a thing something, and when, along with their voice, they moved their bodies towards a certain object, I would see and retain the sounds with which they expressed the object. Moreover, what they wanted to express was clear from their gestures, which are the natural languages of all races, and are expressed in the face, the eyes, and movement of the limbs, in tones of voice that indicate the state of a person's mind as it strives towards or takes hold of, rejects or shuns a thing. In this way, by repeatedly hearing words as they were positioned in various sentences, I gradually connected them with the things they signified, and so trained my mouth to express my desires through these signs. In this way, I communicated the signs of my desires to the people I was among, and so entered into the tempests of society. Yet I was still dependent on the authority of my parents and the will of the adults around me. I'm going to step out of the reading and just briefly overview that this is one of the reasons why people have a hard time reading Augustine's Confessions. It's words and sentences in this kind of structure because it was in Latin, translated to English, makes reading it very difficult. And I hope by reading it aloud to y'all, I'm helping with its retainability. I'm going to move over to paragraph 9.15 now. Is there anyone, O Lord, any mind so great, so close to you in powerful love? Is there anyone, I ask, so close to you in piety and magnanimous love that he will think lightly, and not because his wits are dull, of the racks and hooks and other torments that men in this world pray to you with such dread to escape, but who mock the torments they so bitterly fear? Just as our parents mocked the torments our tutors inflicted on us as boys. For when we did not fear our torments less, nor did we pray less to you to escape them, but still we transgressed, for we wrote, read, and studied less than was demanded of us. Not that we lacked the ability or memory, O Lord, which you willed us to have in ample measure for our age, but we delighted in amusements, for which we were punished by those who also delighted in amusements. Yet the amusements of adults are called business, while those of children are punished by the adults, and no one pities either the children or the adults. Perhaps some fine arbiter might approve of my having been beaten because my playing with a ball hindered the pace of the learning that I was to use later as an adult to play reprehensible games. Was he who flogged me any better? If a fellow tutor should trump him on some trifling matter, was he any less angry or jealous than I was when a playmate beat me at ball? Augustine is comparing the fact that the people that were teaching him were angry when he was distracted or playing games in class because they were pushing him to do well in school. And yet Augustine later in life would reflect that the very goals upon which these tutors were pushing him towards were they themselves adult games. They were storing up treasure on earth where moth and rust and thieves would steal and destroy. It was all a big game in Augustine's eyes. It was a sad fact, a commentary on his schooling, the fact that this Roman education, and I would say our current education, is focused on creating an environment that will allow us to achieve worldly ends, money, fame, power, prestige, and not store up for ourselves treasure in heaven. We're moving on to 11.17 now. As a boy, I had already heard of an eternal life promised us through the humility of our Lord, our God, who stooped to our pride. And when barely out of my mother's womb, I was marked with the sign of the cross and blessed with salt, for she put great trust in you. You saw, O Lord, how when I was a boy, a pain in my stomach had me burning with fever and close to death. You saw, my Lord and God, for you were already my keeper. With what fervor and faith I begged for the baptism of your Christ. How I begged for it, appealing to my mother's piety and that of your church, the mother of us all. The mother of my flesh was distraught, laboring in the birth of my eternal salvation even more lovingly, her heart pure in your faith. And had I not soon recovered, she would have hastened to arrange for my initiation and washing in the sacraments of salvation, so that I could confess to you, Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of my sins. But my cleansing was postponed. As if it were inevitable that I should live, I would pollute myself, for it was thought that if I were to sin after the holy washing, the pollution would be greater and more perilous. So I was already a believer, along with my mother and the whole household. But my father, though he did not believe, did not contest my right to follow my mother's devotion, and did not forbid me to believe in Christ, because he himself was not yet a believer. For my mother strove that you, my God, should be my father rather than him. And in this you helped her prevail over her husband, to whom, though his better, she was subjected, and so also was subjected to you and your command. I would just pause here and say that my experience is similar to Augustine. My father was not a believer, just like Augustine's father was not a believer, though later he would confess and become a believer on his deathbed. And in the same way, my mother told me when my father left, she said, "Son," as she was handing me a Bible, "everything you need to know that you would normally ask your father for, wisdom or advice, can be found in the Bible." And that was godly wisdom that she was giving me. Augustine, in the same way, was reliant on the prayers of his mother to carry him through, because his father was not a believer and was not pointing him towards Christ in his youth. We're going to cover 15.24 here. "Lord, hear my prayer, that my soul not falter under your discipline, nor that I falter in avowing before you the mercies through which you have rescued me from my most evil ways. I pray that you become sweet to me beyond all the seductions I pursued, that I may love you most fervently and clasp your hand with all my heart, and that you will rescue me from all temptation, even to the end. O Lord, my King and God, may whatever I learned that was useful in my childhood serve you, my speaking, writing, reading, and counting. For when I was learning all that was worthless, you gave me your discipline and forgave my sin of delighting in those vain things. These things did give me many useful words, though they can also be learned in things that are not worthless, the safe path along which children should walk." And in closing, this last paragraph is a summation of what he's been driving towards in this section of Book 1. The idea that because we're given common grace, that we can learn by ourselves, we need to focus upon which what we're learning. Or to say it a better way, we should be very mindful about what we're learning. Of course, when we're in school, and you know, Trinity Presbyterian has its own school, I guarantee you that the teachers and administrators are extremely mindful as they teach those students, y'all being some of them. We need to be very mindful because the world in its educational system is pushing us towards things that ultimately won't matter. We need to focus on storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven. I look forward to speaking with you this Sunday.